Welcome to Eclipse Conference, the 2004 edition. In our first session, we're going to have the opportunity to have two very fine presentations. Both of them will be documentary films. The first is by Jean-Marc Rivière, and it will be a documentary entitled Moving Eclipses, Eclipses in Film. Without further ado, we'll let Jean-Marc take stage.
Thank you very much, Darrell. Actually, my presentation is not a film proper, but I'll be talking about movies and eclipses. I'd first like to, of course, thank the organizers, Joanne and Patrick, and I will ask Patrick to come here and get my PowerPoint presentation on the screen. I consulted when I started researching my time documentary film Shadow Chasers for the National Film Board of Canada. And his health and amazing not only is he an avid eclipse chaser, as he set up the solar myth, which is now run by Michael Gill, the solar eclipse, and the solar is the second one. If eclipses are the heartbeat of the Umbra file, I think that that takes many initiatives that in the circulatory system or the nervous system of our far-flung community, so I extend my most heartfelt thanks to that they can do. So my talk is going to be about, or it's based on, the information that is found on the Eclipse Film Database. In the course of researching my film, I cataloged a number of films, documentary films and dramatic films that feature eclipses. And later on, I moved on to newsreel. And I decided to gather all of that information up in three databases, which we'll be exploring in a few minutes. I thought that the internet would be the obvious medium to put information or give that access to that information, and I would like to thank David Makepeace, who's a fellow Canadian, for hosting the database on his site eclipseguide.com, and we'll be exploring that site in a minute. The Eclipse database is a living entity, as you can well imagine. New information is added as I come upon it, and while I was touring Scotland just a few days ago, I got an email from, I think, the mailing list. Someone found and reviewed another film which will be added on later. So the information I'll be giving about Eclipse films is based on the information as it stands now. Some of you might have information that will trump what I have to say, so I'll be most interested in hearing any of your comments during the Q&A or after my talk. Here's a brief overview of what I intend to speak about. We'll start with a very, very brief historical overview. I'll introduce the Eclipse Film Database. I'll talk about each one of the databases, the newsreel, the documentary, the dramatic, and then I'll move on to the last little bit, which I entitled Movie Mistakes, Horror Stories, Gems, and Clips. And during that time, I will show some video clips of different movies. Let's move on to a very, very brief historical overview. I know that Peter Ingley is going to give a talk on Sunday on 500 years of eclipse imagery, so I'll limit myself to just a few dates. First date, December 1874, Janson uses a photographic revolver to record the transit of Venus. And then in May of 1900, Denamp and Fadeau record a UV spectrograph during a total solar eclipse using a large film chronograph that is 500 images at 4 frames per second in Spain. Then we come to 1912. You see that I'm skipping quite fast. Many experiments are undertaken at that eclipse to film the total eclipse along the track over Europe. And the first 35mm trichrome color is shot by Gaumont. In March of 51, the NBC broadcast the first live TV images of a solar eclipse from atop the RCA building during the children's show Howdy Doody. In his book, Sakis, What Time Is It?, Stephen David writes, "I remember watching the broadcast at home and my mother telling me not to look directly into the TV screen." Next date that I've sort of cataloged, major dates, is February of 1961. BBC showed the totality from France, Italy, and Yugoslavia. Here's the track, and Fred will recognize this. The attempt was successful, and totality was shown in France, Italy, and from France, Italy, and Yugoslavia. You will note that this is the same eclipse during which the famous crucifixion scene in the film Barabbas was shot, and I'll come back to that scene a little later on. In fact, we'll check out the clip. And closer to home, in July 1999, Japan NHK recorded high-definition video of total eclipse in Hawaii. And last November, first live broadcast of the total solar eclipse in HDTV using cameras on the ground and in the air in Antarctica. So that was a very, very brief historical overview. And now move on to the eclipse bases themselves. I have three newsreel. I have cataloged 103 films, documentary 67, and the dramatic film 78. As you will see in a moment, each one of these are Excel spreadsheet based. Here's the home page for eclipseguide.com. And in order to access the information, the databases, you go to the side there and click on Eclipse Film Database, which brings you to this screen. There's a brief introduction, and if you move to the bottom of the screen, you have access at the present time to either the Documentary Film Database or the Dramatic Film Database. So you can click on either one of those, and it will bring up a new window. Here's an example of the documentary film database. You find sort of the usual information you would expect. Unfortunately, the screen is cutting off the title column. And then you have the year of production, directors, series if it's applicable, production company, etc. I think that for the documentary films, the most important column is the distribution. These films are sometimes quite difficult to find. So if you want to have access to them, I've tried as much as possible to get the information for the distribution companies or a website when I've found one. If you scroll to the right, you then get to the other columns, and the synopsis is also quite useful. It gives you an idea of what the films are about. You will notice if you go on this site that some of the entries are not complete. In fact, for the dramatic film database, there are films that are in the catalog, and I'm not even sure if there's an eclipse in them. I googled a number of films, and I used the internet film database, and if you do a search using eclipse, you get a whole bunch of films. I've tried as much as I could to see most of them, but some I haven't seen, so I don't even know if there's an eclipse in some of them. Hopefully some of you will get a chance to screen these films and let me know. So this is an open invitation to everyone. Let's move on to the first database, which is the archive, the newsreel database. I've been able to document 103 entries. using two archival databases, the one by Gaumont from France, and they have the Gaumont, the Éclair newsreel, and also, interestingly enough, Archion, which is Russian archival footage. And then there is the Pathé, British Pathé, archival footage that I've been able to catalog. Here's the screen for the Gaumont, the homepage for the Gaumont database. You will notice at the bottom there are circled. It's available both in French and in English. So if you go to their search screen and type in Eclipse, you will get, let me see, I think it's 106 hits, some of which have nothing to do with solar eclipses. If, for example, they say that such and such an event eclipsed such and such an event, you'll get a hit. So I sort of went through all of them, and in the database, you will only find the footage that show eclipse. Right on the left-hand side there, it's probably too small for you to see, but it's a small icon that looks like a film strip. And what these mean is that for those entries, you can have access, theoretically, and you'll see what I mean in a moment, to the archival footage. Here's a typical page. This is for the April 19th, 1958 annular eclipse over Japan. And you have the two film strips. One is for a slow connection and the other one is for a high speed connection. Unfortunately, that's what you get when you click on it. I wrote to Pathé, Gaumont, using their, contact us. And I got the message. The message was bounced back saying that that address was no longer valid. So I'm looking into this. Hopefully, it'd be great if we could have access to this. Just click and see the clips. Nonetheless, the Gaumont collection is really a rich and fascinating collection of archival footage. Here are a few. This is for the 1912 hybrid. Over much of Europe, and it's the earliest archival footage that I have cataloged in the database. There are two entries under that date. One says that the eclipse is seen and is filmed very clearly, and one has a time-lapse sequence showing the eclipse sped up 100 times, and also the eclipse is seen from London. Now, a word of warning to those who will be using, if you go to the Gaumont site as opposed to the database that I created, especially the English version, it's a machine translation from the French, and you will get things like rotting straw backs of scientists in Japan to see moon at midday. I still haven't figured out, looking at the French, how they came to that sentence. But do not fear, I went through all of the descriptions and using the original French and translated them in the database. You will have something that is a little bit more accurate. Another interesting eclipse is the January 1925 total. It was the one from the famous New York eclipse, and the entry here refers to the eclipse being filmed aboard the airship Los Angeles from a height of 3,000 feet. So that would be interesting footage to see, but unfortunately I wasn't able to get it up. The next one is the lengthy 7 minutes and 8 seconds total over Southeast Asia, and there are 10 entries for that eclipse alone, so that should make interesting viewing once Gaumont gets its act again. There's also the Concorde eclipse, of course, in June of 1973, with a single entry. If you go to the British Pathé site, you can get 39 hits, 27 are legitimate eclipses. The eclipses are available in three formats: QuickTime, Window, and Window Movies, and there must be another one, because I know there are three formats, and three resolutions. So you can actually preview these for free. All you need is to type, fill out a form, and you get an access number via email within a few seconds, and then you can actually screen those. Now, I had one, and it worked when I was in Canada. Unfortunately, Patrick and I tried to make it work, and it would have been the 1961 eclipse in Italy. You'll have to take my word for it, but it's interesting, interesting viewing. You can download all of these, low resolution, and they work beautiful, trust me. Let's move to the next database, which is a documentary database. Following the Second World War, scientific and government institutions started producing films for internal use and public consumption. One of the very first of these films was the 1950 Les Flammes du Soleil, which was produced by l'Observatoire de Paris, and is dedicated to the memory of Bernard Guillot, who was the first to record solar prominences with the coronagraph. This film is almost entirely composed of time-lapse sequence of prominences, and it's really quite spectacular. If you've never screened it, you can order it directly from not the Observatoire, but this, La Bibliothèque de Recherche Scientifique. It's in the database, so you'll have to go and see. Then there's, in 1955, the National Film Board of Canada produced Opération Eclipse 2. It's an account of the 1954 solar eclipse. Shows a scientific team being flown by the Royal Canadian Air Force along the path of the eclipse, which allowed for prolonged and unobscured observation of the eclipse over the Labrador coast. We then move on from sort of scientifically based to more educationally based films. In the 50s, with the audiovisual aids becoming more prevalent in the classroom, short educational films were produced, such as Eclipse of the Sun and Moon by Encyclopedia Britannica, or Our Mr. Sun, which was directed by none other than Frank Capra. It's a 52-minute film about the sun, and it features an eclipse sequence. And it was reviewed by Jay Pasikoff, which I'd like to thank, for the database. Then filmmakers started to focus their attention on eclipses and eclipse chasing proper. The earliest documentary film that I've cataloged in the documentary database is Eclipse at Grand Mail, again by the National Film Board of Canada. It's a 6-minute short, and it presents a candid camera view of the festivities with which the town greeted the influx of visitors to their remote community. There's then A Line to the Sun, which features the July 73 eclipse, of course, with the Concorde, as expected. But it also shows the eclipse as seen on board the MS Monte Umbe off the coast of Mauritania. So I think that's perhaps the first documentary film where you actually have a cruise ship involved. And you have a chance to see a very young Patrick Moore, the famed British astronomy expert. A little later on, in 79, I got Chasing the Eclipse, again by the National Film Board. You'll think there's a Canadian bias, but I think the NFB was really into doing a lot of documentaries at that time, and obviously they were interested in eclipses. To my knowledge, this is the very first documentary entirely about eclipse chasers, as opposed to eclipses or trying to teach people about eclipses. It follows a group of Americans from Warren, Michigan, arriving near Brandon, Manitoba, for the February 1979 eclipse. Because of the episodic nature of eclipses, documentary films naturally are clustered around them. This is especially true of total solar eclipses, notable either for their duration or their path. The exceptionally long July 11, 91 eclipse gave rise to 3 films shot in Hawaii and 4 more in the Baja Peninsula. In August of 99, of course, there was an extremely long overland path eclipse, and this gave rise to no less than 16 documentaries, including mine. In fact, a UK production company, York Films, repackaged its footage to produce three different films, one pre-eclipse and two post-eclipse. Let's move on to the last database, which is the dramatic film database. The dramatic potential of eclipses, especially solar eclipses, prompted early filmmakers to feature them in their film. The earliest dramatic film I've been able to catalog dates back to 1900. It was shot by Arthur Marvin, an American, entitled How I Saw the Eclipse. Now, I know some of you have had some problems sometimes with people using flash cameras or bumping into your tripods, this comedy shows how a small boy interrupts an astronomer's observation of an eclipse by pouring a bucket of water in his telescope. So. In 1907, the famed filmmaker Georges Méliès produced L'Eclipse de Soleil en pleine lune. Now, this is a rather erotic tale of the moon and sun exchanging a kiss, and apparently a lot more. One reviewer even called it the first homoerotic film. Now, let me explain. It seems that the sun is clearly masculine, but that some interpret the moon as being feminine, but others as being masculine. So following the encounter, the heavens erupt in a shower of stars, which you can see there, that either become woman or sperm, according to your point of view. The first, animated film, or animation film, I should say, was Fantasia by Disney. And though its depiction of an eclipse, and we'll screen that footage in a minute, is certainly much more realistic than Méliès or Marvin's, it also gave rise to the first movie mistakes, and we'll take a look at that in just a moment. Most of the eclipses shown in dramatic films are the result of special effects. It's extremely rare for filmmakers to use real eclipse footage, although it's been done. The first example of that I've been able to catalog in the database is Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court. It's an adaptation of Mark Twain's story about someone being transported to the time of King Arthur and falling a blow to the head. In fact, it stars Bing Crosby as a singing mechanic. He is saved, by the way, on the day of his execution by an eclipse, and you'll recognize the same device was used by Hervé to save his hero Tintin in the Temple of the Sun. Fortunately, I lost the attribution to this little tidbit of information. If it's someone here, let me know. And I even Googled the sentence, and I got the Eclipse database. So that didn't work. Someone wrote to me, and I lost the attribution, that the action in the film takes place in June, but that the real eclipse sequence used in the film was that of the January 24th, 1925 eclipse. And you can actually see the leafless trees and the snow on the ground visible in the coronal glow. So they used a real sequence, but there was a bit of a mismatch there. Let's move on to the famed Barabas film, shot in 1962. Now, the director, Richard Fleischer, did not intend to use a real eclipse in his film. In fact, he didn't even know there was going to be a total eclipse while he was shooting the film. When he learned about it, he decided to roll the dice. It was quite a courageous move, because back in the 60s, the quality of the film stock was certainly not as good in terms of contrast as it is contrast rendition as it is now. But anyways, he went ahead. The photo you see on the left was taken by the set photographer, and the close-up on the next screen there is actually, I think, just a blow-up from the photo on the left. I'll have a little bit more to say about this sequence a little later on, since I'll go screen. Let's now move on to the last part of my talk: movie mistakes, horror stories, gems, and clips. Now, the first mistake I've been able to catalog, and I'm sure you've seen it in any film featuring solar eclipses, is a full lunar orb during partiality. I've given this a lot of thought, and I've come to the conclusion that this mistake is, in fact, quite deliberate. Indeed, even the most incompetent special effects team would consult at least a few photographs before starting to work on such a sequence. So why would they show the full lunar orb during the partial phase? My guess is it's for the sake of clarity. In my own film, Shadow Chasers, put Wood's 12-year-old son, as the eclipse starts, asks his dad, why can't we see, you know, the rest of the moon? And I overheard someone asking, where was the moon before first contact? I think that the general public doesn't quite understand the dynamics of pas de trois in the sky. And so filmmakers, fearing that people are going to not understand what is going on, decide to show the full lunar orb during the partial phase, just to make it clearer. Second type of mistake that I've been able to catalog is what I've called the speed and duration mistake. Now, though totality is quite a spectacular event, for storytelling purposes, the partial phase is a total bore. I mean, it just takes too long. So that slowness totally undermines the dramatic potential of the eclipse. So most filmmakers decide, as you will see in a few moments, decide to accelerate their proceeding. Of course, some go all out, and they cut partiality to mere seconds, which means that the moon has to slam on the brakes at second contact, or we all have eyebrows. They just go. So that's the second type of mistake. Third type of mistake is incorrect ingress or egress. That's quite common. People get the directions of ingress and egress wrong, depending on whether you're in the northern hemisphere or the southern hemisphere. And you'll see some examples of this in the clips we're about to screen. The third or fourth mistake that I've cataloged is a dynamic corona. Of course, you're trying to make this dramatic, so all of these streamers are moving around. Unfortunately, we wish it was like that. Unfortunately, that's not the case. The next type of mistake is what I call the diamond bead festival. Diamond beads are quite spectacular, and in the spirit that you can never have too much of a good thing, some filmmakers go all out. That is the case of the movie Dodo Has Clairborn, which we'll screen in a moment. And as Louis Carton has correctly pointed out in his comments that appear in the database, the stated 6.5-minute duration of that eclipse is not compatible with a true necklace of beads as shown in the film. And I'd like to thank Will for that comment, which was right on. Mistake number six, incorrect lunar phase on the day before or after the eclipse. This is quite a common mistake. And again, I believe it has to do with clarity. In order to set up the eclipse, the full moon is often shown on the day prior to the eclipse occurring. This is going to be the case again in Dodo Has Clairborn. Now, I've said two things about Dodo Has Clairborn, two mistakes, in fact, and yet I think, as you will see in a moment, it's the best eclipse sequence in any dramatic film. I think you'll see what I mean. Finally, it's the mistake number 7, incorrect eclipse sequence. As I mentioned earlier on, if you're going to show or use a real eclipse, you should make sure that you've got the right season. Now, let's move on to horror stories. Quite a number of movies, especially in the horror genre, use the mythical evil qualities of eclipses. Hence, children born during an eclipse are damned, such as in Bloody Birthday or Quand les étoiles rencontrent la mer, or people just disappear during an eclipse, Watchers of the Wood, or people become murderous killers during an eclipse, such as in The 13th Sign or Bram Stoker's Shadow Building. Before going on to the clips, I'd like to talk about these two films, which I think are really quite extraordinary in their use of the eclipse. Despite some movie mistakes, the film Lady Hawk, which was shot in 85, wins my vote for the best use of an eclipse in a storyline. In this film, Captain Navarre and Lady Isabeau are deeply in love, but have been cursed by an evil bishop who wants Isabeau for himself. Navarre, the curse is that Navarre turns into a wolf at sundown and returns to human form at daybreak, whereas Isabeau turns into a hawk at daybreak and a human form at sundown. So to break the curse, the lovers would have to exchange a kiss, but that is not possible, of course, because they keep changing one and the other, until, of course, the sudden onset of darkness during a midday eclipse. Dolores Claiborne wins hands down for the most realistic eclipse in a drama. Most amazing is the care the filmmakers took reproducing the changing quality of light during the late partial phase and the onset of totality. We'll screen that in a minute. Unfortunately, we have to fiddle with the contrast and brightness. It won't do it justice, but I think that you'll still get a good idea of what care the filmmakers took. I'll now ask Andy and Adrian to move on to the first DVD clip in a minute. I'll just introduce what we'll screen. It's a Fantasia, the sequence in Fantasia, the animation film from Disney. And I dissolved that with the opening sequence of A Space Odyssey, 2001 A Space Odyssey. And I'll let you guess why I did that. So Andy and Adrian, if you are ready, let's roll the first clip. I wondered where Stanley Kubrick got his idea. move on to a film called The Mummy. And I have a prize for the person who will spot the most number of movie mistakes. Let's roll the clip.
We'll need all the help we can get. His powers are grown.
He stretched forth his hand towards the heavens.
We must stop him from regenerating. Who opened that check?
Well, there's me and Dane here.
Oh, and Frank's of course.
And that is your college fella.
What about my buddy Benny?
Oh, he scrammed out of there before we opened the damn thing.
So I just love how the moon races across the sky and it just sits there. Let's move on now to the Delaney. The next few sequences, David Makepeace and I re-edited. I don't know if we made them better or not, but some were quite extended, especially the sword fight in Lady Hawk. I think we slaughtered half an army before we got to the eclipse or between the shots of the eclipse. So despite the fact that it's a wonderful use of an eclipse in a storyline, they kind of botched the eclipse sequence. Let's screen it. And no clouds, you sort of lose perspective. You wouldn't know you're looking at the sky or whatever. Anyway, a number of films use clouds as a sort of a situating device, so to speak. The next sequence we'll be seeing is the one from The Last Reborn. Again, a word of warning if things seem to be jumping ahead quite rapidly, it's because we compressed the sequence. But pay a special attention to how the light changes, and there are a few shots of the horizon, and I find they did that really beautifully, at least as close as you can imagine using special effects. We'll roll the clip, please. This is the day before the eclipse, or night before the eclipse.
Thank you.
I think they did actually pretty well. Last clip from Baba. Introduction. It was shot in February of 61 in Ocastrada, 120 miles northwest of Rome, using three cameras. First one is a close-up of the eclipse. Second one is a medium shot of Jesus in the eclipse. And the camera three is a wide shot of the three crosses and the foreground extras. Now, notice you might not see this given the quality, but there's a diaphragm adjustment midway through the shot shortly after second contact. And notice that the three actors on the cross had their backs turned to the eclipse the whole time. And given that the film was not that sensitive back then, he lit the scene. So that you could, get something on film. Let's screen it now. Yelling, or the assistant directors going, move to the left, move to the right. So I wrote to Richard Fleischer, and he was kind enough to send me some of the original footage, which we'll screen now. And I think you'll be quite surprised by what went on. Let's roll this last clip.
Here comes the shadow! Look to the west!
it may be. So I think I went overboard. So I'll be more than happy to answer your questions if you have any after the next presentation. My apologies to my Iranian colleagues.